could just reuse that and curate more than create, because it's just there's already too much stuff out there, especially within ESL or things. So the idea is more to you know, instead of just having lots of stuff, I know stuff that's really good, that's tested in the classrooms, and that is, you know, that's based on stuff like I made a textbook and I used a couple of Project Gutenberg books. So they're public domain, they're released in like 1905. But like, it's teaching English. English has changed, but not too much. And like, so I already have this whole textbook. I don't need to like do something new. I need to pick and choose from that what I need. All right. Number six is idea sex. And the idea with idea sex is basically what it sounds like. You want your ideas to meet other people's ideas and so on and so forth. The rational optimist is a really good explanation of this idea. You want to read it? And then number seven, deliver a better lesson plan and publish your review. Now you've made it possible for any teacher to build off your work, improve their lessons, and give you feedback so you can make your lessons better. And then number eight, restart the cycle from step four. So as an illustration, another way to think about this is like a water cycle. So like you make the lesson plans, goes up in the atmosphere, and you teach it, and then it comes back down when you teach it, and then you put out the new version with the review back into the water, and so on and so forth. That image is public domain from the U.S. Geological Survey. Okay. For the pad, is.gd/okcon. 2011 CLP. That didn't really help. Okay. All right. So, history of CLP. So, I started formally introducing this last summer at Wikimania. I gave a talk, which you can read there. I came to start doing this because I was teaching English in Japan. And I got off the plane and had a wonderful two-day conference at one of the nicest hotels in the world, the Keio Plaza, and then got dumped in my town of 4,000 people with no real training for how to be a teacher or how to teach English or materials to use. So then I had to, you know, do a lot of research and try to find out how to teach well because I wanted to teach well. And I ended up finding stuff eventually, but for the most part, there wasn't a lot of stuff out there. And it wasn't easy to find. And then when I did find it and I started to use it, it was like all rights reserved or different things that made it difficult to use. So the big idea with this is not reinventing the wheel. Like I had to make color flashcards for my students. Like that is insane. Like color flashcards are the simplest thing. They've been around for long time. Nobody should have to make color flashcards again. That's just a complete waste of my time, waste of the Japanese government's money paying me to do that. So the idea is to stop reinventing the wheel, make the wheel better. And then I did a couple of courses on PDPU in cycles 4 and 5. Cycle 4 was last October. Cycle 5 was in the spring. At that point, PDPU was more of it was this set up in 6-week cycles that were offered, where you offer a course. And we got a lot of interest from people in different parts of the world. And it didn't necessarily mean, we didn't get a lot of follow-through on everything. People really struggled with the, just like having lesson plans and putting them out. It was just really a tough thing for people to get around. But one positive thing that did come out, a lot of positives that came out. One of the biggest positives was that one of the people in the course, he had some struggles in his own course. And then he wrote about it and he ended up coining this phrase, paragogy, which paragogy is a theory of peer-based learning. And then I wrote a paper with him about it. We presented it at a conference in Germany this summer. And so that is, pedagogy is basically how peers can learn together. There's like pedagogy, which we all know, teachers teaching students, and andragogy, which is an individual self-directed. So pedagogy is a little different. And so within collaborative lesson planning, it's just teachers, not really. Students can be involved, and I think they should be seeing lesson plans. But that's the bigger thing is teachers working together, so they're peers. And so that theory hopefully will help this come more to life. And then currently, earlier this year, PDPU reimagined itself, P2P University, if you guys don't know, reimagined itself, and now instead of offering courses, in general, they offer a study group. A study group is an ongoing study of some subject, so there's no like time frame. Like the courses were 6 weeks, study groups just go for as long as you want, and there's not, so within that, there's less structure, which in some ways led to less going on, but it's a new medium, and I hope it's a lot of potential. All right. What am I doing? Time is it? Okay. So a after action review of year one. After action review is a military idea. Unfortunately, this PDF is no longer hosted on their website, but the after action review is done after you do something. So you go over, these are the four steps. You review what was supposed to happen, so for a mission or whatever. Establish what happened, so this mission was supposed to take down this place. What happened? It didn't happen. Determine what was right or wrong with what happened. Determine how the task should be done differently the next time. Okay, so doing that framework to my own year and with collaborative lesson planning, what was supposed to happen was teachers all over the world start collaborating, and there's a huge amount of resources available, and no new teacher has to start with from scratch. That was what was supposed to happen. Establish what happened. Well, that didn't happen. I had some success at I'm here now, and I had some success on PWU and in my own studies, putting more of my lesson plans online and figuring out how I can do this. Determine what was right or wrong with what happened. What was right was that I kept studying it and that I kept trying to get more people involved and follow through on it and made progress. What was wrong was that there wasn't a lot of, aside from me doing what I'd already been doing, I didn't get a lot of other people involved in it. And there weren't a lot of teachers that weren't doing it that are doing it now. Determine how the task should be done differently the next time. So heading into the future, I really want to, I think the study group is going to kind of be the online home of what, how this is going to go. And I want to develop that out and really make explicit guidelines for how teachers who want to do this can do it, as well as I just need to market more. I need to get out there and go to schools or go to talk to college professors or whatnot and just get the word, beat the street, you know? And because it's not, one of the big themes I've taken away from this conference is it's not, just getting it out there is just not enough. Putting stuff online is great and it's good for ego stroking and talking with other people who like open stuff about how great open is, but in terms of results, it's not really meaningful. So until you get people, and a good example is the Flat World Knowledge. They've gotten into tons of schools and made a lot of progress, or Khan Academy, or other people who are here. So follow their lead and try and market more. Okay. Conclusion, CLP wants your help. So everybody here, I invite you to join the PWU Collaborative Lesson Planning Group. There's also a Wikiversity resource on it, which I have not given a link to. But I will. And then contact me with ideas, please. That's my information. And so floor is open to questions. Yes?
Is there a format that you have for how the, what the lessons look like, or like what form you have to upload your stuff in?
In terms of the format, no, there isn't something that's like a clear... No, but I think that would be something that would be good to establish sort of like a, perhaps within a certain discipline, each discipline, have like sort of like an MLA for lesson plans so that people could use, interact with them much more easily. In terms of the document format, it's preferable to use like OpenOffice or PDF as opposed to proprietary document formats, just because proprietary document formats are limiting in who can reuse it. If you don't have the latest version of said software, you're not going to be able to access the document, and OpenOffice is free to download online and offers incredible functionality and support, or not support, but incredible functionality, and you can do everything you need to do as a teacher, in my opinion, there. And then those documents much more easily accessible by anybody in the world. Or a text format is the ideal. Yes.
So, like, imagine if, like, the United States government mandated that all ESL teachers in the United States, like, go to this one central website where they have all their lesson plans, like, resources, whatever, and, like, it's curated and stuff. It's, like, would that fulfill your vision, or would something in your vision still not be quite there if, like, something like that were to occur? It's just, like, hypothetical.
Yeah, I guess within that, that'd be, like, I don't know, climbing the mountain, and I'd be at a different peak, so I'd have different view then. I don't know what the next, I guess the next step of that would be making sure that, like, all those ESL plans are shared with teachers all around the world, and just grow the network. And then hopefully out of that, like, it would emerge that there's, you know, it doesn't need to be hundreds of them. It only needs to be a few.
Right.
And, and then customize it by, like, I'm teaching 20 students, I'm teaching 50 students, I'm teaching, students within ESL who have an intermediate level, or like they should have an intermediate level, but they're actually beginners, even though they're in junior high. So then, and then you go, so you go through that, and you get the lesson plan you want, and then you use it or modify it, and then upload it with what you've learned. Yes.
Do you have an organizational, like a plan for how, if I did have stuff that I wanted to share, like how would other people find it? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I know what you mean. I didn't link to it here. I made like a how-to. Oh, thank you. I made a how-to collaborative lesson plan. It's on this document actually, and that's like that outlines for uploading to Wikiversity, which is a sister project of Wikipedia. Wikiversity is real nice. You can upload PDFs or open documents and choose your license, and it's there, and it's really easily findable by Google. At this point, like, not a lot of teachers use it, or even people in this open education world use it. So I think I gotta start, or people like upload to Wikiversity, upload to Connections, upload to Wiki Educator, upload to OER Commons. Just get it like everywhere, and archive.org is really good. And yeah, just get as many places as possible.
It seems like that is a major. I think if you want to get instructors involved, there has to be like a central.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
Agreed. Yeah, I agree. And that currently is not reality, but I agree. Yes?
Well, I wonder, like, if something would be possible, kind of like with the Jesuit, like this network of 400 schools and the Jesuit thing.
Mm-hmm.
So what they're trying to do, based on like, one of the presentations, is kind of make this common pool of OER specifically designed for use within the Jesuit network.
That's cool.
And so like, I wonder if that's a more practical idea, is it's kind of not trying to have like one central clearinghouse like Wikiversity.net, but like kind of lots of little clearinghouses based on little interest groups, was easier for them to adhere together.
Yeah.
Like come up with guidelines.
Right. Yeah, no, I mean, within that, like a Jesuit person working at a Jesuit high school isn't going to teach a class the same way as a public high school or at like a, you know, like a really nice private school out east or something. It's a different world. So yeah, so that with sort of like subsections. And then also on a similar note, like there are many different copyright licenses and people are comfortable with different ones. And personally, I prefer public domain, like dedicating it because that enables the most idea sex. But a lot of people don't like that for a lot of different reasons that are valid. And so, like the attribution share, like non-commercial people could only really be talking to themselves. And then attribution share, like a little bit more, attribution a little more. But yeah, so sort of like subgroups of a big group.
Or even just by that key itself, like.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Well, then my comment was along those lines. There's a cool website called betterlesson.org.
Okay.
They have a collaboration with the KIPP schools. And every KIPP school teacher uploads his or her lesson plans, and they share them in that community, their similar teaching model.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, so that's a good example of somebody's actually, it's happening right now. That's something I should follow up on, and thank you. Any more questions?
And another one.
Yeah.
I wonder, just your experience, what is on your wish list? Like what would be, is there some application or some change or something that would help individuals like you do this better, faster, cheaper, and have a wider reach? Like, what is there something that you wish existed that doesn't?
No. I have everything I need now. Yeah, I just need to do it. And I guess the wish list would be like more attention to what I'm doing or the stuff I already put online. It would have more people reading it and commenting on it. But no, the tools are there already to do all this stuff. I mean, it's like the DS-106 talk yesterday. The internet radio has been around for a while and all these other tools have been around. And they didn't need, you know, just... It doesn't mean that I'm not... I mean, very much in favor of continued development and new stuff that comes along, makes my life easier, is great. But the way I see it for me is just the only barrier is me just getting to the desk or going to people talking about it.
Awesome.
Thank you. Any other questions? Is there anything in the... Yeah?
You mentioned Jim Groom, like his thing. So this kind of seems more like just a repository stuff. Like, how do you see this maybe fitting into the vision of, like, open educational experiences that can't live inside a repository of like flash drives and curriculum?
That's a great question. I think, first off, I think the study group is an open educational experience. You can't, it's not somewhere that you're actually, like I want the lesson, you don't put your lesson plans there. Put your lesson plans elsewhere. And you just kind of talk about it there and like, so that's ongoing. Within the collaborative lesson planning, I think I want to make that, just try and develop that out. Within me teaching English, I was actually pretty inspired yesterday by the success of DS-106 and the massive open online course, or MOOC, even though Grimm said his wasn't a MOOC, kind of is. But, yeah, I think, like, I was thinking of trying to do a MOOC for English, like for ESL. I've developed a textbook for ENG 099, Conversational American English. And I think I'll like try to offer that as a MOOC and then just get lots of people involved. And because I think the open and experience is the big thing. The resource content. Oh, and also like, so this is an example of another thing that I did with lesson plans. Like I put on Wikiversity, put a semester's worth into this book. And that took like 5 minutes. Because Wikipedia is a really nice thing where you can make a book and it's on Wikiversity, the same plugin. You just put it together and then it comes to you like within the week. And so any of you can buy this now if you want, but like nobody's used this, right? You know, so it's like right here, really easily used, but hasn't happened. So that was kind of tangent, but any other questions? I guess we have a question. All right. If you looked at Japanese methods, they're actually very big. No, I've not explicitly looked at Japanese methods. I was in Japan teaching English, and in my experience, it was up to the teacher if they were interested in working together or not, for very good reasons. Some teachers, some like Japanese natives, didn't like working with me because they had bad experiences with other foreign teachers, only there for a year, don't care about their job, who, so on and so forth. So it's actually more work for the Japanese teacher to incorporate the foreigner than it is to just have them in the room and once in a while have them do something. It makes their job easier. Now, I would say I was also in a small town, so within terms of like Japanese government policy or like stuff that's going on in an avant-garde meta level in Japan, I have no familiarity with that, but I would say my experience was fairly common. And that's not local to Japan. That's local to, in my experience, anybody who I've talked to who's done ESL abroad. The local people interaction can be very hot or cold for valid reasons on both sides. Any other questions? Okay. Well, thank you very much for your attention. Have a good day.
Thank you, John. That was Charles Danoff, DS-106 Radio.